Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a lively Friday live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now. Blazing five NFL picks. Week two. Start to see trends, reality. Joy Taylor is joining me. Well, that was kind of ugly last night. The first half was a mess. Second half was entertaining.
I thought it was kind of fun. The first half was a bit of a struggle, but
yeah.
I mean, listen, if you're gonna, you might as well make it ugly and interesting. I mean, they pulled that off.
Yeah, they didn't look like playoff teams to me. One of them has a chance to, I think. Let me start with this. I am an action over words person. You know, what are your actions? People can say things. You get emotional. You know, we're all human here. You can say things and be clunky on social media. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. You just, none of us are perfect. What do your actions tell me? What do you do in life? What is that signal? What is your intention on a daily basis? Your words I can get over. I love my wife. She said things that are hurtful. I've probably said things that are hurtful. What are our actions toward each other? Respectful, supportive. I'm into your actions. Words, I can give or take. A lot of people make promises. Let's see your actions. So the New York Giants, their words are, we love Daniel Jones. He is the future. You should see him at practice. It's like Johnny Unitas meets Peyton Manning. He's amazing. Those are their words. What are the New York Giants' actions? Conservative play calling. They don't trust Daniel Jones. I mean, two guys for the Giants were making plays last night. Daniel Jones and Sterling Shepard. That was it. And yet, late in the game, they couldn't run the football. What do? Give it to Saquon Barkley twice. Can't run it. Then on third down, all right, Daniel, save us. A timeout. You're late in the game. Throw the ball. The Giants last night are telling you, deep down in critical situations, well, run the football. Saquon Barkley had one big run all night. Giants couldn't run the football. Two guys made plays all night. Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard. What are you doing? Daniel Jones threw the ball 14 times fewer than Taylor Heinicke. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Taylor Heinicke was in his third career start. He's a backup. He has a defensive coach. Defensive coach. You know how they are. They love to win with defense. Mike Tomlin loved how the Steelers won last week. He loved it. Loved it. Pete Carroll has Russell Wilson. All right, run the football. Run, 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 run. Ron Rivera wants to run the football. And their backup quarterback with three starts threw the ball 14 times more than Daniel Jones did. And Daniel Jones has a good receiving core. And Daniel Jones didn't last night have any running game. I mean, listen, he's 6'5". He's 220. Joy and I were talking about this before the show. He's a big athlete. They're big. I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean, 6'5", I'm tall. Every room I walk into, I'm one of the tallest people. He's significantly bigger and taller than I am, and he runs fast. Cut it loose. Let him go. Let him play. I mean, think about this. The Washington football team has a converted wide receiver playing running back. Their tight end is a converted quarterback. Their backup quarterback is starting, and they were letting it loose last night. They were taking big chunks, big passes. Taylor, win the game for us. What are you doing? You got Kenny Golladay, Slayton, Shepard. I want to see 40 passes from Daniel Jones, minimum. 40. I want to see more of these reads that he runs, he's pretty good at, pretty effective. I want to see more of those, 7-8 a game. He's one of your playmakers. But you keep telling me how you love him. You're not showing me that you love him. That drive late in the game, you could run the football all night. put the ball in the hands of your 6'5", 220-pound quarterback who can run. So, yeah, I watched the Giants, and what do we know about the Giants? Head coach, I'm not sure. GM, I'm not sure. O-line, I hate. Kenny Golladay, yelling at people. Defensive personnel, not as good as I thought. Saquon Barkley's health, cross your fingers. So you don't really know what you are. So let's at least figure out Daniel Jones. So when the quarterback, the draft comes in April, and there's four or five quarterbacks out there, and you've got the 11th pick or the 9th pick, you know exactly what you need to do with it. Because when I look at the New York Giants right now, I don't know what they are. So let's try to decide and figure out what we are at the most important position. He's got 27 starts. Taylor Heineke's got 3. And Washington's got a defensive coach and a better running game, and they let him throw it. So I talk. Everybody's talking. What are you doing? I watched that team. Now, by the way, I don't know if it's going to work. The Giants are historically a conservative franchise, the accounting firm of the NFL. So they'll give him a third year, my guess is. But he's lost now 6 straight primetime games to open his career, and their 7th is Kansas City. So, you know, what you're seeing, maybe it's just because what I'm seeing on national TV doesn't work for me. But what I really saw last night is a highly reluctant coaching staff with Daniel Jones in now his 27th, 28th start. All right, so let me shift to this. At this point, Tom Brady is sort of screwing with us. So he was talking this week, and I'm done doubting Tom Brady, but he was talking this week about, you know, keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. And here's Tom Brady.
Wow. Seems to be a really hot question lately. Can Tom Brady play till 50? Like 50 years old?
Yeah.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state. So I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
Oh, boy. You know, I was thinking about this. You ever see those magazines? You see this constantly. 7 tips to retire early. 12 things to guarantee you can retire early. You always see Money Magazine or Barron's or the Wall Street Journal. You go online and it's always, here are the 9 ways to ensure you have a safe retirement. Let me give you 2. Spend less than you make, and then dollar cost average for 25 years. That means every month you put the same amount away and you don't think about it, and that's it. That would be my magazine. My magazine would go out of business. It would be 2 tips to retire early, and I would just write spend less than you make, and then dollar cost average, which I've been doing since 1988. Just put the same amount a month every way, and then I just don't worry about it, and I live my life. That's it. I don't have a 3rd tip. And I think about this in the NFL. Tom Brady. How to last as long as Tom Brady. It's really not complicated. It really isn't. Here's 2 steps. Don't be reckless and get hit a lot. All right, that's real big. And don't take the most money, allowing for a better offensive line and more help. That's it. Tom Brady this year is 5.6% of his team's cap hit. Because when you take less money, you can have a better offensive line. And you can retain your center. Aaron Rodgers lost his Pro Bowl center this year. Why? Because he's close to a 15% cap hit. Tom Brady now has a better center. Tom Brady can get another receiver, Antonio Brown, wedged into this roster. Along with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Why? Because he's a 5.6% cap hit. I mean, Russell Wilson, I want a better offensive line. Well, you're a 17% cap hit. It's not that crazy. Don't play reckless. Sam Darnold, love him, plays reckless. Ben played reckless. Cam played reckless. Andrew Luck, loved him, was reckless. Lamar Jackson, for my taste, a little too reckless. Learn to slide. So don't be reckless. By the way, Tom's also not reckless with his diet, his off-season conditioning. He practices how to get sacked. And then just take less than max money. And I know, easy for me to say. He's got a supermodel wife. Tom has been taking pay cuts for years. He's still been paid more by $30 million than any player in league history. Why? Because he lasts longer. Why? Because he has better surrounding parts. Everybody says they're committed to this stuff. Tom's truly committed. He practices getting sacked, and he takes pay cuts. It's not different. You know, the other day I was thinking about this. Is that I've had people in my life say, "Oh, you work very hard," and I'm like, "I don't work that hard. I think I'm efficient with my time. I don't think I work that hard. I mean, I'm off at noon. I'm playing tennis at 1. I don't work that hard." And I say to everybody, your phone tells you how many hours a day you use it. What is yours? 4, 5, 6 hours? You're on your phone too much. Think about what you could do. You sleep 8, you work 8. That's 16 hours, right? You have 8 hours. You know how many things you can do over the course of a day in 8 hours? I mean, it takes me, let's say I do sleep 8, work 8, eat for an hour. I don't think I'd eat for an hour, but I'll get an hour. Listen to music. I listen to music or read 2 hours a day. I work out for an hour a day. That's another one. 1, 2, 3. I still have 5 hours left. Tom Brady just does a better job of taking advantage of the time available. He's just not a time waster. It's not like he works all day. Every time I see one of these goofy things, he's always out having fun with Gronk. And so, retirement, 2 steps. Last a long time in this league. Don't be reckless. And if you're a quarterback, don't take the max money. Most of these guys should last far longer than they have. Cam's 32. He looks shot. Ben, I watched him in week 1. Looks like a 50-year-old man. Sam Darnold missed long stretches of his season. He's just a kid. He should be the healthiest he's ever been. Andrew Luck's out of the game. Most of this stuff in life is not that complicated. Spend less than you make and dollar cost average. That's it. You can have 13 steps in Money Magazine. None of them really matter. Just don't buy Bentleys if you can't afford them. It's not that difficult. Not that crazy. By the way, Brady also does something that's really important. And I think this, if you want to last in a hard career, and I think football's hard, especially NFL football, even if you're winning, it's hard. Brady also has a component that I think is really important. It almost goes without saying, you got to love what you do.
Good luck. Good luck. It's tough, but it's up to them. Yeah, if you do the right stuff, you got a shot. But I see a lot of people not do the right stuff. So I try to, you know, influence the people I can. If they're, you know, it's a lot of, first of all, you have to love it. It's got to be a part of something, you know. If you want to do it for a long period of time, you got to really excel at it. And that really comes from loving it. So it's a lot of different motivation over a long period of time.
Speaking of that, the rumors persist on Urban Meyer and USC. They persist. And I don't believe it. For a lot of reasons of which I've stated. But a former Urban player now in the NFL says, dude better change and change fast or it's not going to work. Thoughts on that in Urban coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Discover.com/yes. They match all the cash. On your credit card, end of the first year, no limit automatically, cash back, discover.com/yes. So Draymond Jones and the Denver Broncos are playing Jacksonville this week. By the way, the Sharps, the wise guys, love Jacksonville this week. I can't go there yet. So Draymond Jones was talking about Urban Meyer and responding. He's hearing the stories that are leaking out. You're hearing some stories that veteran players don't love Urban Meyer. Not really a shock. He's very intense. He's college intense. You see college coaches all the time ranting and raving on the sidelines. Nick Saban ranting and raving on the sidelines. Not really an NFL thing, yelling and screaming at your players. Tom Coughlin did for a while, and the owner finally said, chill out. So anyway, Draymond Jones knows Urban, talks about his style. Is he surprised that some of the NFL veterans aren't in love with him?
Go from college to pro is always difficult, no matter what the level is, whether it's coaching or playing. Especially because a lot of his philosophies were like a lot college based, and you can't do that with 30 plus men or even 25 plus men who's been around the league and they know what they're doing now and are well established. So you got to shake things up in how you coach.
Now, I will say this. I made a couple of calls this week on Urban Meyer and the rumors. I thought that was my responsibility. Both said it's not going to happen. Then Urban Meyer came out and said it's not going to happen. But I also know somebody that deals with Urban a lot and says Urban changes his mind a lot. The two reasons I don't think he would leave is, number one, he's making a ton of money, and his family likes Florida more than they like California. They vacation there for years. He's a Midwest guy. Midwest people vacation in Florida. He's got a house in Sarasota. Now he's got one in Jacksonville. They love Gainesville. The kids, the family, they really like Florida. Maybe it's the weather, the tax situation, whatever it is. They like it. The golf courses, whatever. They like it more than they do California. And it's not like he'd get a huge raise coming out here to California. He wouldn't. You're making a ton in Jacksonville. The second thing is, I think it would be weird if he left after a year. He's only 57. He's got a legendary reputation in college football. It would be odd to just quit after a year. He abruptly left Florida. He kind of abruptly left Ohio State. It would sort of become his brand. Like, it's a little Bobby Petrino-ish, right? Like, I think it's weird. But I will say this. My question about Urban has always been a singular one. Does he love the NFL? Because Andy Reid loves it. He loves the lifestyle, drawn up plays. He loves the players. Belichick loves the NFL. Does Urban love it? And I'll give you an example. Restaurants. The restaurant business, like the NFL, it's hard. It's long hours. There's two types of people that invest in restaurants. People that love it. They love making the menus. They love the people. They love the kitchen. They love the environment. They love the grind. And then the other kind of person that invests in restaurants, it's a good business opportunity. But when fit hits the shan, who sticks around? The people that love restaurants, not the people who saw it as a great opportunity. Did Urban choose the NFL because he loved it? Or did he choose it because it was a unique opportunity? The Jags had the number one pick. Trevor Lawrence was available on the market. Urban said he's the best college quarterback he's seen. And he could live near his old home and near his current one in Sarasota. And he'd have some personnel say. My guess is that was the choice over the I love it, because I've known Urban for years and he never talked about the NFL. There's a big difference between loving something and choosing something based on the circumstances are ideal. You should probably take this opportunity now because number one pick, star quarterback, you'll have say, and it's an estate your family loves. And so that's, when I say Urban's not going to USC, that is the thing over here that makes me think, if after a year, this is just a mess, like they're 1-16, they don't grow from last year, Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, the owner's unhappy, says something publicly. I mean, Urban's favorite player of all time. Think about this. Who is it? It's not his most talented player. It's Tim Tebow, Mr. College rah-rah football. That's Urban's favorite player ever, Tim Tebow, who's an eye roll in the NFL and an icon as a college football player. Jacksonville is also the most collegiate town in the National Football League. Green Bay is smaller, but it's all NFL. Jacksonville, you go read the Jacksonville newspapers, they're talking about the Florida Gators and the Georgia Bulldogs as much as they are the Jags. So that's the glimmer. That is my question mark with Urban Meyer, the USC rumors, is everybody's telling me no. I think it would be weird. I think it would hurt his legacy. I don't think he's going to make any more money out here. But does he love the NFL like Sean Payton does? Like Belichick does? Like Mike Tomlin does? Like John Harbaugh does? Or was it just a great opportunity that nobody could say no to? My guess is it's that one. And when stuff gets ugly in the restaurant business or in the NFL business, you got to love it to put your head down and grind your way through it. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, that was some game last night. Giants lost in heartbreaking fashion.
Well, they won, then they lost.
Yeah, they won, then they lost. And then we're trying to sort out the pieces. They got a second chance, Washington did, at a game-winning field goal due to an offsides penalty on defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. Joe Judge is not placing the blame for the loss solely on him, though.
Something we don't want to have, all right, something that's not acceptable. But look, we're not going to turn around and put this game on any one player or one play. There's enough things we can clean up as a team. We can play better going forward. So we're not going to go ahead and isolate one incident and say that's the difference in the game right there. So we got to make sure we do a lot of things better for 60 minutes.
How you do anything is how you do everything. They had 11 penalties for 81 yards.
A lot of penalties.
Including a really one big one that negated the Daniel Jones touchdown run in the second quarter.
Drop passes,
Darius Slayton. Yeah, I mean, this was a rough game all around for Big Blue.
Also, this needs to be said. Don't lose to backup quarterbacks in division. That's what got Jared Goff a ticket to Detroit.
That's true.
He lost to Nick Mullins, November. Remember, we always thought Goff and McVay, kumbaya. And then Jared Goff lost to a backup quarterback in division. These division games, these national TV games, they're big. Like, these are the standalone games that everybody in the league's watching. So Daniel Jones is losing to a backup. So somebody's going to pay the price. Goff in L.A. paid the price. It may not be Daniel Jones. It may be Jason Garrett. It may be Joe Judge. It may be Dave Gettleman. But when you're losing, when the owner's watching, and you're losing in-division rivalry games to a backup quarterback, somebody's going to lose their job. So in L.A., McVay wasn't going to lose his job.
Right.
It was Jared Goff, who we thought it was great, lost his job. So that game last night, that's the start of Mara's going, okay, now we're losing the backup quarterbacks in our division. Yeah.
Somebody's in standalone losing Thursday night games.
Now, it may only be Gettleman that gets whacked, but somebody, when you start doing that, Joy, that's when you get whacked. Somebody will pay for that.
Well, they don't look put together.
No.
So, and that's why, it's not at all Dexter Lawrence's fault. Right? Like, Joe Judge is right. There was plenty of blame to go around. We focus on the last play in the biggest moments because that matters. It's not nothing that he did that, obviously, but they had some opportunities throughout the game to not be in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, you win throughout the game. Obviously, it comes down to the last second and what you do in that moment, but you can't put it on one player. That's not how it works. But you're absolutely right. Like, you need to win these games. That is a game the Giants should have won. Now, I feel like Washington was going to win because of their defense.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even necessarily because of their defense. I mean, you saw how grooved everything is for the offensive side of the ball now. So I thought that was a really big night for Taylor Heinicke and for Washington.
Yeah.
Because not only is it an in-division win, but I think he looked good.
Hey.
Like, I don't know if I'm making an aggressive move to get another quarterback now. And that's why I wanted to see what he did last night.
They let him throw it 46 times. That's with a run game. I mean, they ran the ball better than the Giants. So it's like the coaching staff isn't bragging how they love him, but their actions are showing me in Washington.
Yeah.
Throw it almost 50 times.
And New York is being conservative, as they always are.
We love our quarterback, but we don't want him to throw as much or run as much. So, again, Washington, it looks like to me on play calling, Taylor Heinicke, their defensive coach is like, you're throwing almost 50 times.
Well, they also should have done that. This is your guy now, so you got to see what you have in him. Not that you need to sacrifice a game, but he's going to have to go out there and have big performances if you're going to win this division and win playoff games, which is what you have him there for.
Yeah.
So why not air it out and see what he has going on? And I thought he looked good. So Aaron Rodgers continues to downplay the poor performance against the Saints week one. He says the team is not going to overreact to one bad game and will move forward with the rest of the season.
All right.
There shouldn't be some big drastic change and alteration in the way that we do things, the way we practice, the way we prepare. If it's good enough to get you to this point, then it's good enough from this point forward. So I haven't changed any of the stuff that I've been doing. Obviously, you know, we got to play better, but if we're starting to freak out after 1 week, we're in big trouble.
I don't think anybody is freaking out.
Well, I mean, locally, I'm sure they are upset, and he's talking to local reporters there who are, you know, going to continue to ask him. And I don't know what the question was, but it sounds like it was something to the degree of, are you guys doing anything differently this week because of the blowout loss to the Saints? Which is a question that you're going to get in those press conferences. And he is right. Why would you change anything that you're doing? They know how to prepare. They know what they're doing. They came out flat. It was a blowout. There were a lot of lopsided games in week one that I think will correct themselves throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, Belichick's worst month is September. September's a quirky month. It's a weird month. It's the hardest month to bet football. It's the hardest month. You just don't know what you have. Are these rookies capable of playing? These teams are all playing. And they're all playing their first, second, third, fourth, fifth round pick. So, like, there's going to be weirdness in September.
If you look at week one's scores and how some of those games finished, take a deep breath.
Right.
Like, the Packers are not a bad team. Do I think that some of the offseason drama or, you know, energy or whatever affected week one? Yes, I think that's fair to say. Everything plays a role.
Yeah.
But I think they'll be fine. Like, he's absolutely right in saying that they're not. He said they're not going to make it bigger than it was. You can't react like that week to week. If you win by 50, if you lose by 50, you have to go out there and start the week over. Not that you don't learn from it, but it can't weigh over you, especially after week one. So for the first time, Hard Knocks will follow one team during the regular season, and the Colts are the team that will be featured this year. HBO will be with the team through the end of the season, which would include the playoffs if they qualify. There'll be at least 9 episodes, and the first one will air on November 17th. This is all the information we have about the series. We don't know yet what the criteria is for the team being selected, and if the Colts were able to turn it down. The NFL film senior executive said, thanks to HBO, along with the incredible cooperation from the Colts, we were able to deliver a groundbreaking new edition of the series. So that seems to hint that the Colts agreed to this.
Weird.
We don't have an answer or confirmation on that yet. So we're still getting a little information about it. Twitter didn't have a good response to it.
Obviously, yeah.
Make of that what you will, but I was a little surprised that this was the announcement. I don't know that I would, if it was the option, I would definitely decline to have cameras in my facility and around the team during the regular season. It seems like a massive distraction that you don't need, especially in a season where you're reintroducing Carson Wentz, who is going to be a major storyline for Hard Knocks. So I don't know what the whole motivation, other than more content, obviously from HBO and all that, that makes sense, but from the Colts' perspective, I don't know why this is a good decision.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So a lot of things to discuss. Blazing 5, top of next hour. Albert Burr joins us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, Monday morning quarterback. All right, just give me your impressions of Daniel Jones. My takeaway was the Giants keep telling me they love him, but I watched the game plans. That last drive, it's 2 runs into the line. They couldn't run all night. Saquon had 1 big run. So you're not telling. Taylor Heinicke had 14 more throws, and it's his third start, and he's got a defensive coach. So I'm watching, and my takeaway is they don't trust Daniel Jones. They're telling me they love him, but they're not showing me they love him. What did you make of it?
Yeah, and you know, I think that this is sort of where the team is right now, and they're not where a lot of teams with young quarterbacks are. They've got a general manager that's been there for a while now. They're not young in their roster in certain spots. You look at guys like Leonard Williams and Adoree Jackson and Logan Ryan. There's some age in that roster. Kenny Golladay. And I think there's a feeling that they need to contend right now because they haven't contended in a long time there. And so I think we're probably getting a more true tell of where they stand on Daniel Jones and how much they feel like they can lean on him to win games. And part of the deal here, Colin, is they've got to get answers on him. I mean, that's part of why you go out and you get Kenny Golladay and you go out and you get Kyle Rudolph and you really load up for 2021, because the natural point in every rookie contract now, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, is to make your decision on the player after year 3. And we see what's happening with Lamar Jackson. It's an open question right now whether or not he's going to get paid. Josh Allen got his money. Baker Mayfield, it's an open question. That's where Daniel Jones is going to be a year from now. And so I think a part of them loading up in the offseason was to try to get answers on Daniel Jones. But if you're simultaneously trying to win games and you're not putting the ball game in his hands quite as much, especially when you've got a franchise running back coming off of an injury, I think it probably does tell you a little something.
Yeah. So I have said this week, I've got decent ties to USC, and Urban Meyer to USC is a great headline. It's fascinating, and he has left jobs before we thought he would a couple of times. I think he would look very strange to bolt on the NFL after a year. I also think his family, I've been told this multiple times, they love Florida. They had a house in Sarasota. They prefer Florida over California. What do you make of the rumors? They persist this morning. Your thoughts?
I don't think he's leaving for two reasons. And the first one kind of ties into what you said about legacy a little bit earlier, Colin. I mean, this would be really crappy if he walked away, because they didn't just hire Urban Meyer. They hired Urban Meyer's way. And if you look at the way that they've invested in that program and the program that Urban Meyer is bringing to Jacksonville, they're building a $150 million practice facility. Yep. They forced all their trainers to get certain certifications to Urban's preferences. They hired the biggest coaching staff in the NFL. I mean, everything that they've done has been to make that place Urban Meyer's operation. And so walking away after a team makes that sort of investment on you, in you, I think is something that really would stick to you. So that's number one. Number two, I'm not sure he wants to recruit anymore. Yeah. And you know, I think the game's changed. This is something that he brought up to me when I talked to him about it about a month ago and asking him why he's back coaching. And, you know, he told me he'd had opportunities over the last couple of years, as you would have expected, at the college level. And one thing that was really tough for him to wrap his head around was the idea of diving back into recruiting 24/7, and now you add NIL to everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think he just felt like if he was going to get back into it and get back into coaching, he wanted to be just about the football. And if you wanted to be just about the football, you're going to the NFL. You're not going to college football.
So I'm going to throw this out there is Jimmy Garoppolo's future is at best tenuous in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But this needs to be said. Joy and I talked about this yesterday. Kyle Shanahan's NFL coaching record without Jimmy is bad. It's the best division in football, and Trey Lance is not ready to start two games against Seattle, improved Arizona, and the Rams yet. Number three is I looked at Garoppolo this week publicly on a popular radio show in the Bay Area, saying publicly, I'm making the best of it in terms of being pulled out. And I thought, that's what you say when you have to homeschool your kids because, you know, of a pandemic. We're making the best of it. It's what you say when you go on vacation and the hotel screws you. We're making the best of it. Those were real words. And I thought to myself, Garoppolo's got a little more power and leverage than I think sometimes we think. Tough division. Backup's not ready. Kyle doesn't win games without him. It's a weird dynamic to me there. Whereas all we know in Chicago, Andy Dalton, the runway is an inch long. What do you make of their situation here in San Francisco with Garoppolo? Because he clearly doesn't like driving the team down the field and then getting pulled out in the red zone.
Yeah, and I think it's just sort of you hope that the mutual interest of everybody involved is going to pull you through. And to be fair to Kyle and to Jimmy, it has to this point. You know, I think Kyle's been pretty clear with Jimmy, whether he likes it or not, on the way that this is going to go down. They had very frank conversations over the summer. Jimmy told me this over the weekend, that they had actually discussed the idea of a full-on quarterback shuffle with the guys guys actually alternating. And, you know, Jimmy let Kyle know, like, I don't think that would work for me. And they've sort of worked through some of these issues already. But Jimmy's being honest about it, and I think that it's a fair thing to look at. I mean, you know, you work your whole life to get into one of these positions. You get in one of these positions, you get to the Super Bowl in the one full year that you play in the place. You have some bad luck from an injury standpoint, and now all of a sudden you're not going to be the quarterback anymore. So I can understand Jimmy's frustration. On the flip side of it, it's sort of an interesting tightrope that Kyle and the Niners are walking here, where they're trying to develop a young quarterback while also trying to do what's best for a championship-ready team. And I think really the whole idea here, Colin, is to raise the ceiling at quarterback. Look at who Kyle lost to in the Super Bowl, right? Coached a hell of a game against the New England Patriots for Atlanta, right? Got up 28-3. Brady made it not matter. Coached a hell of a game a couple years ago for the Niners against the Chiefs. Got up double digits in the fourth quarter. Mahomes made that not matter. And so I think Kyle's had a very real look at what an elite quarterback can do, even if everything else is right on the other side. And so they're attempting to raise the ceiling by bringing in a young quarterback while still doing what's best for what they believe is a championship-ready roster, and they're walking the tightrope on that. I think it's going to be a challenge all year, but they've made it this far, so we'll see where it goes.
About a minute left. Any good juicy gossip out of Green Bay after a weird performance? It was just, I mean, the reigning MVP was the worst player in the league. What do you make of that?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, look, like I think there were some people in Green Bay that weren't real happy with Aaron Rodgers' reentry into the organization back at the end of July and kind of the way that he handled some of those things. And I mean, there's the obvious, the press conference, but I think it went a little beyond just that. And so, you know, I think the climate in the building is going to be really, really interesting over the next couple of weeks, because when you're in this sort of situation where you suffer an embarrassing loss like that in the first game of the year, it's really on the leadership of the team. There's not as much the coaches can do. It's on the leadership of the team in the locker room to take care of that. And it's really on Aaron Rodgers. And if you look at the way that Aaron Rodgers has conducted himself over the last 6 or 7 months, one of the things that's made the Packers people angry about is he's been aloof. He's acted like he doesn't care at times.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, you know, like this is the sort of situation that sort of demands that the quarterback take the team by the collar, you know, and say, come with me. Like, you got to, we got to clean this, you know, bleep up. Is Aaron Rodgers willing to do that? You know, and was he that way this week? And are we going to see the evidence of that against a rebuilding Lions team on Monday night? Or are we going to see more of what we've seen the last 7 or 8 months? A lot of people are paying attention to that. And it's going to be interesting to see if everybody there is able to put some of the hard feelings of the last 7 or 8 months aside.
Really interesting stuff. Monday morning quarterback Albert Breer, good seeing you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Colin.
On a Friday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Endless hot water, 15-year limited warranty. Go to a Navien tankless water heater, tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com, Navien. So it was interesting. Albert Breer just talked about something. I mean, it surprised all of us when Green Bay was that bad. They weren't just bad. They were like awful. Worst team in the league. Aaron was the worst quarterback last week in the NFL. And Albert Breer talked about something that, you know, Aaron did not, his comeback to the Packers, calling out the team, the aloofness. We've all known moody people, right? When you're around moody people, you know, their highs are high, their lows are low. Jay Cutler was the great example. Like, when Jay was great, he was great. But boy, meltdown Jay, he had, for a guy of Jay Cutler's talent, he had some really, really bad games. And so it's interesting when you watch that blowout. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not a psychologist, but it is interesting. So in the last 5 years, now Green Bay's been, these are the games Aaron started. In the last 5 years, as an MVP-level quarterback, and we know it's a functionally well-run organization, and we know they're in a bad division, he's been blown out 10 times, 2 touchdowns or more losses in 5 years. Blown out. You say, well, I mean, what about Brady? Half that. What about Russell Wilson? Half that. Mahomes has been blown out in a better division 1 time in 3 years. In a much better division, I think. So is Aaron's moodiness and his temperament, when you're around moody people, you know, you kind of walk on eggshells. Are there these occasional walk on eggshell weeks? A former offensive lineman of Aaron Rodgers once told me, you get a different Aaron some days. Tom, same Tom every day. Russell Wilson, same Russell Wilson every day. Aaron, you get a different Aaron. So this is interesting. So let's go to Aaron's first 5 years in the league. The worst team he ever played on was in that 6-10 team. That was the worst team, right? So this includes a bad 6-10 team. Aaron's first 5 years in the league was only blown out 4 times. Last 5 years, he's been blown out 2.5 times that. 10 times. The division's no better. The teams are more consistently better. They've back-to-back NFC championships, so the teams are better. The division still is a mess. Aaron's better. He's a reigning MVP, and he's been blown out 2.5 times as much, what would that be? Because Aaron wasn't as moody his first 5 years in the league. He wasn't as wealthy. He wasn't as powerful. He was replacing a legend. He wasn't a legend. So could I make the argument as his status, as he calls it, he calls it that publicly, as his status has increased, his money has increased, his legend has increased, get more of this Aaron, aloof, arrogant. When you replace a legend, you're kind of on your best behavior. When you become the legend, your behavior can change if you are, by nature, a little moodier, a little more temperamental. I don't know this to be true, but I do think it's interesting. He's blown out 4 times, and that includes a bad team his first 5 years. They've been blown out 10 times in the last 5. I didn't count the games that he didn't play. Division's no better. Aaron's better. The team's more consistently functional. And you get games like you saw, where Aaron was the worst player in the league. We know Aaron last year was arguably the best player in the league. Blazing 5, hour 2, next.